You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC. We're also heard on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're also heard online everywhere in the world.
Yes, on 1510 WWBC, you can hit that on-demand button. You might have to do a quick little download, but for the most part, once you do it the first time, you'll be able to hear us every single week here live from Cocoa, Florida.
That's right. And for listeners who are tuning in today and for our regular listeners as well, Ellen and I get together every Monday here. Paul runs the board for us. Thank you very much for giving us a voice on community radio. And we do know that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, so we play nice.
Yes, we
most
do.
Of the time we do.
We try.
Ellen and I are here every Monday. We sit down for like an hour. This studio has become part of my living room so I could chat and with my friends and listeners and people who are coming as guests. And we talk about kitchen table topics, things that are going around here in Brevard County, Florida, as well as around the nation. And we want to thank Ellen. We have so many wonderful sponsors that help us with our shows, the nonprofits.
Yes.
People who come in. We had Sanjay Odeshi, the doctor, call in last week. He talked a little bit about herd immunity and the coronavirus. And so our sponsors help us to bring on quality shows. And we are here and we speak in unscripted manner.
Right.
Very informative, quite educational at times. And people do appreciate it because our show is booked until the end of November.
Yes.
People are reaching out to me on Facebook. They're sending me text and emails, and sometimes I have to turn some people away, but it's okay. We'll get them in somehow.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yes. And so all of our shows, the last 10 years, believe it or not, right, Sita?
Mm-hmm.
10 years, it's hard to believe. Two guests a week, just about, for 52 weeks. I don't think we've ever over-recorded. I think one time we recorded a show prior or re-ran another show, one of those things. But other than that, we've had quite a few guests in the last 10 years.
Right.
Like I said, 52 weeks, that's about 104 guests a year.
It
times
is.
10 years.
Well,
that's big.
Our guest today is running for office.
Yes.
His name is Jim Kennedy.
Right.
And
today's show is actually sponsored by Jim Kennedy for Congress.
That's right, the 8th Congressional District.
That's correct.
So, Jim, I'm going to say welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And you look like a politician.
No.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you why. He is calm, he's confident, and he knows the issues. He knows why he's running.
That's right.
And most politicians, most people who run for office, they do have an aha moment mm-hmm. when they know why they're running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's good. I mean, your demeanor is good, and I like it. It's positive attitude, great energy. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for office.
Well, a little bit about myself. I'm a disabled Navy veteran. I've been living off and on in Florida since, family moves back and forth over all the years. We've been down here several years now. I'm married. I have two kids. I have twin five-year-olds, so I don't get much sleep. I don't know if that's ever going to change, but we'll go from there. And I'm an engineer rocket scientist over at the Space Center for ULA. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, wonderful.
The reason I got into this was a few years ago, I was in a bad motorcycle accident when I was between jobs. I didn't have health insurance at the time because Cobra was been about $3,000 for 3 weeks. I thought, what could happen? And, of course, my motorcycle accident happened, put myself in the hospital, put myself in a wheelchair for several months, and I realized, you know, even though I've been mostly working, obviously I was laid off at the time, and my wife and I, you know, are both professionals. She's a nurse. We were very close to one emergency away from losing our house, losing everything. And it definitely started putting things in perspective that there's a lot of people in America. There's a lot of people, especially here in Brevard County, that are just, you know, one little step away from a tragic event, you know, a family event, something that's going to set you over the edge, and bankruptcy is right around the corner. We hear stories about it all the time. So when I saw how close we were, I decided to start doing some research. And from there, it was just, you know, my engineer side kicked in. I started learning the issues. I started learning the politicians. Who's the most responsible? Where's the best place to, you know, invest and look for your bang for your buck when it comes to putting your time into this? Because it is an investment. I mean, it's
challenging.
It is.
It's challenging to run for office. And, you know, I ran against Mr. Thad Altman in 2018
mm-hmm.
for the state representative seat here in District 52. And, you know, I was told by, you know, a few people, well, you're not white, you're not Christian, and you're not a Republican, you're not going to win. But I think I did pretty good. We got over 30-something thousand votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did really well. And I appreciate people voting for me because I spoke from the heart when I talked about, you know, people making $10 to $12 an hour and having to put food on the table, pay car insurance, health insurance, a rent or a mortgage, feed their families. I mean, really and truly, those of us who care enough to run for office, these are issues that we think about. And I'm sure you think about that as well at night.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, you don't go to sleep. You just lie down and think about what else you can do the next day. You know, how many issues are going to come up and how you can try and solve them. I guess that's how my mind works. So, you know, daycare. Look how expensive daycare is for families. You know, how do you get ahead if you, you know, you can't work because you have kids or you send them to daycare? You need to have a very good job to be able to pay for good daycare.
Right. And I think the going rate now for a daycare is about $300 to $400 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you work part-time.
That's for one.
Right.
That's for
and
one.
Work,
Jim's got two.
Right. And if
oh, yeah?
you work part-time,
yeah.
you could pay about $250 a week. So here's the thing. For all the people who are using the code word socialism, they need to start thinking about that because you can't have it both ways. The businesses don't want to pay some of the employees more than $15 an hour plus benefits.
Correct.
So if you're not paying your employee a decent wage as well as insurance benefits, how is that person going to work for you, give you 100% of their being, and take care of their children? So that's when it kicks in that you have a voucher if you qualify to help pay for daycare.
And mm-hmm. right now the Early Learning Coalition is out of money. So even with a voucher, there is no help anymore right now because they ran out of money for the rest, sounds like the rest of the year.
Right. So Jim.
So how does somebody recover from that?
You
right?
can't. So Jim, you're running for office. And say you meet a young person, a single mom, who by no fault of her own, she's single with a couple of children.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to you, look it, I am barely making it. I make 12 or 13 bucks an hour. What can you do for me once elected? I mean, what are some of the issues that you could foresee that once elected you can help this person?
Well, I think, you know, especially for someone in that situation, but for all of our district, economic recovery is something I'm really focusing on. We saw the CARES Act and we see the HEROES Act. These are very good band-aids. These are very good relief for what's going on right now. But to go further, to really turn the country around and start getting everybody back on a good economic footing, not just people that can invest in Wall Street, we need a good economic recovery plan. So I'm looking at, and I'm working with some other freshman congressmen and established ones, there's the Fight to Unite initiative that we're bringing up. And this is putting people back to school. It's a very similar to a jobs bill, AmeriCorps. And all the finance, it's all there online, fighttounite.org. You've got all the financing is there through taxes. This would put people back into training. It would put money into infrastructure jobs, which is money going directly back to our communities here. When you fix a bridge, when you have all this, this isn't money going overseas. When you're working on the roads, you're targeting the specific demographics or your specific area right there by reinvesting. This would put people back to school for training, for nursing, for carpenter, for, you know, the vocations that we don't see pushed anymore. This would bring back all that, and it would provide a living while they're doing it. It's very similar to if you were in the service while you're being trained.
So you'll invest in education.
Without a
doubt.
Number
one.
No, without a doubt. Everything starts with education.
Right.
I mean, everything. Our healthcare starts with that. Everything starts. The basis of everything is education.
And you said one of the main reasons you decided to run was for healthcare. Well, we're all, watching what's happening with COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working in a COVID unit, taking care of patients. And I can tell you that right now, there's this big debate going on in our nation about the vaccine. We're 6 months into this virus. And what I'm hearing is people want to be able to trust the scientist, and they want to use common sense. You're a scientist. What would you say to people out there who are saying, look it, I don't know if I'll take this vaccine?
Is it
trust? What is it?
Honestly, I'd have to agree with them right now. You can't rush science. You need time. I mean, one of the big issues with this COVID-19 that we're seeing is everybody's like, well, they said this, then they said that. Well, that's because they learned something more. That's science happening in real time. This is a virus. We've seen ones like it, but never it specifically. So it's taking time. Until this, I mean, I would not want to take any vaccine without some kind of studies.
Well, you want to know the efficacy rate of it. You want to see the effect.
Yes, the
effective rate. You want to see the studies, right?
Yes, and there are some being touted, being tested around the world, and they have been at it for a while. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to get those here because it's not profiting our companies. It's not profiting the big biomeds that are here in America. It's profiting ones that have already started the research. So science needs to be, you need to be able to be peer reviewed is what they always say. You need to have your critics look at it and go through it and learn it. So a vaccine that's coming out, rushed out for an election as a political ploy, I'm nervous about that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll take it, to be honest with you, unless my job mandates that you can't be on the schedule if
that's
you
true.
Don't take it, you know. But here's the other thing. People are looking at the vaccine, but you need syringes.
Mm-hmm.
You need vials. You need the actual solution.
Mm-hmm.
You need nurses to give alcohol pads. It's all these components that go into administering this vaccine.
Yep.
And people are not thinking straight about it. Are we going to have enough for every single American? I don't think so.
Probably not. And unfortunately, the way we've seen the response to the coronavirus go so far, it's obviously going to start with the more well-off communities are going to get it first. They're going to buy it, or they're going to say, well, we already have the nurses and the facilities and we can get it done quickly. It's going to take a lot longer for it to filter down to the, you know, more incentivized communities, which is where we're seeing a much bigger hit of the virus, because people live in tighter quarters. They have less access to healthcare. They have less access to PPE. So, you know, unfortunately, it's being politicized and it's being monetized, which it really shouldn't. It is a pandemic.
Right.
It is an epidemic. You need to treat it as such.
Yeah, and we've talked about it on the show about the minority community who, number one, a lot of minorities are very hesitant to participate in the studies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't have health care. Mm-hmm. And we're all watching right now in America where, you're right, certain people have access to health care and certain people don't. What is your position on the Affordable Care Act? Should we nix it or fix it? What is your position on that?
I am definitely for fixing the Affordable Care Act. This, you know, people are always saying, well, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? And the Affordable Care Act is so expensive. No, it showed the weaknesses in our healthcare system. And to be honest, we don't have a healthcare system in the United States. We have an insurance system. You pay money to someone, and then they decide how much they'll give if your life is worth that. That's not healthcare. That's insurance. It's going to business. So by getting the Affordable Care Act fixed, by getting everybody the option, by getting all Americans on a healthcare system, everybody gets a little bit healthier, which means they stay at work more. They can work harder, which brings up the GDP, because a healthier workforce does much better than one that you're always retraining because they're either passing away or they miss so much work you fire them. It is economics.
Health and wealth goes hand in hand.
It does.
It does, right? But here's the thing. Okay, I'm with you on that. I feel as though we need to try to expand Medicaid, decrease the age to buy into Medicare.
Mm.
So if I want to quit working at the age of 56, I can buy into Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel people who are working and have their insurance through their employer, they should have that choice to keep it. So I think fixing the ACA is the way to go. Now, we have a lot of people who would like universal health care or Medicare for all. What do you say to those people who are trying to weigh which candidate they should vote for? You're running against Bill Posey, and he, I'm not sure what his position is on the ACA. Because I know I tried to have a conversation a few years ago with him about the health care reform bill, and I don't know, you know, how far I got with that. Because the Republicans tend to kind of vote together and rubber stamp everything. What is your position on either Medicare for all or people having a choice with their health care?
Well, on Bill Posey, he, my opponent, he has voted over 50 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He's trying to get rid of it because that's what they, you know, that's where you'll get more money made by businesses. For me, when people say Medicare for all, Medicaid for all, I think it's just bad marketing. Because people my age and older, I think of Medicare for, one, for older generations, and two, not very good. That's what we grew up knowing. My grandmother had Medicare. It didn't. She didn't get great treatment, and she passed away. So it has a bad stigma to it. So I'd like to see them, I mean, and all it is just a marketing. A single-payer plus is a popular universal option. That means anybody that wants the government health care can get it. And we figure out it's paid for. It's, you know, instead of paying into your company and then going to a private company, you pay through it through taxes or you pay through it through a specific deduction.
That's what we call the public option.
The public option.
And Obama tried, President Obama tried to get that public option, but he couldn't. But the truth is, you know, it'll be just like any other insurance. You know, you have Humana, you have Cigna, you have United Healthcare, you have all these insurance. And then, sure enough, you have Medicare if you want to buy into it. I see no problem with people who want to buy into it, this should be allowed. And I hope and pray you get in because we need people like you who are like-minded and care about all human beings in the United States, not just the rich.
Yeah, and there should be able to buy in. But there's some people that, I mean, if you're really destitute, if you're only making minimum wage, how are you going to pay
so you get
even
Medicaid,
for Medicare?
Expand Medicaid.
You know, expand Medicaid. Again, to me, it's just the name. And it's just pure marketing. You know, it's the idea of it is what's right. And it's so complicated, only 32 out of 33 developed nations have figured out how to do it. You know, pretty much anywhere else in the world, they have some form of it. So we can look, you know, from an engineering and science perspective, we can look to see all these other models and see what will work for the United States. It's just, you have to get the profit out of it. And that's one of the biggest problems.
So put people before profits.
Without a
doubt. It's not a slogan. It's a truth.
Without a doubt.
So here's the thing. Where did we lose the message? Because most people you speak with, they'll tell you that one of their heaviest bills, the largest bills, is healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that I work with that can afford insurance at the job, so they'll pay $60 a month or $64, whatever. Their husband will buy it on his job, which is $64, $65. And then they have Florida Kid Care for their children because they cannot afford the family plan. Because the minute you add on the dependence, your dependence, it goes up to $500, $600 a month.
Correct.
So how do we get people to understand that if we fix the ACA, we're not really taking anything away from anyone. We're giving you that choice. Where did Democrats lose that message?
Well, it's a tough one, Sita. It's... You know, this is actually how me and my wife live, because obviously I had to stop working. I'm taking a leave of absence from my work, so my benefits stop. We moved all the benefits to her, and I don't have direct health insurance right now. I only have my VA health insurance as a disabled veteran, so I don't go to the regular doctors. I go through the VA. How Democrats have not sold that correctly or how we let that message get turned around, I'm not an expert. I'm not sure how we did that. How do we correct it? We need people to actually just look at the numbers, to look at realistic facts. If everybody has health care of some kind or another, if we have more simple, straightforward plans that people can understand, if we start letting the government and Medicare start negotiating to get these drug prices down, because we're financing all these mega yachts and vacation homes when you can go overseas and get these exact same medications for less, that it's not sold that way, that it's not told to the American people that way, I don't understand.
And the corporations, I mean, we are what we eat, sleep, think, and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So hold the corporations responsible for what they're putting in people's food as well.
Mm-hmm.
And preventative health care.
Preventative health care is one of the biggest things we could get going in this country because, you know, everybody knows that old axiom that, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of treatment or something like that.
Pound of cure.
Pound of cure.
Yeah, my mother
me.
Used to say that all the time. Yeah. So Ellen and I have had so many people on our show. So Ellen, if you were to meet Jim, mm-hmm. and you didn't know
I
about
have.
Him.
Yes.
You met him today, right?
Oh, nice to meet you.
And you were going to be voting for him. So here's the thing. What are some of the things as a voter you are interested in? What are your top three issues for Jim, who's running in the congressional district in District 8?
Ironically, I don't have children, as you know, but I am very interested in education and making sure that our public education is available for everyone, and it shouldn't depend on your zip code as to how quality the education is. So that's a big one for me. And certainly, you know, teacher pay and making sure that we're taking care of that as well. Second Amendment has been a big deal for me as well. The more and more people that are pushing for everyone in Brevard County to own a gun, I don't think that that's necessarily responsible. I don't think that everyone is emotionally ready to own a gun. And I think that there are much less lethal ways that people could defend themselves if need be. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one for me.
And
as
healthcare.
Well. Well, that's, you know, healthcare for me is not the top three. The other one is term limits. You know, I had a policy probably 20 years ago when, you know, I was like in my 30s, somewhere in my 30s, that I started saying, you know, I'm never reelecting anybody. Like, if you can't figure it out in the 2 or 4 years that you're supposed to be in and make a comparable difference from what happened before, I don't think anybody should be reelected.
So
where we came up with term limits, right. I was like, this is exciting. Okay, like,
so this is where the two words career politician comes in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, Jim, so here's the thing. I know you're running against Bill Posey, and I've met him, and I think he's a very nice man, and he does well for Brevard. But at some point, people have to start looking at the other candidate, the person who is fresh and new and has great ideas as well. And you're a scientist. You're a veteran. My God, you know, you are everything that a person wants in a candidate to run for office. So when you hear the two words career politician, what comes to your mind?
You know, it's, I guess, what a lot of people picture. It's kind of that sleazy, perfect suit. They've got money coming out of their pockets from just these, you know, backroom deals. They're no longer interested in serving their community or representing them, which is exactly what the job Bill Posey has and what I'm running for, is to be the representative. Not somebody's lapdog, not bought and sold by, you know, this pharmaceutical company or this gas company. When I hear career politicians, I just cringe. Yeah.
Yeah, because like in the real world, if you're not doing your job, you get fired.
Yep.
But in an unrealistic world, politicians get reelected over and over. And the more outrageous they are, the more they get elected.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I'm finding too is people are stuck on the code words. Who's pro-life? Who's pro-choice? Who wants to see immigration policies? Who's a socialist? What has happened to the electorate that we have become so divided by hate and fear and animosity, and we let these code words take over the voting booth?
Well, I think it's both parties' fault,
to be
honest.
Of doing it.
They're both guilty. The Republican Party has done a very good marketing job of saying Americana, red, white, and blue, that's what we stand for. They seem to fail to mention that they actually stand for corporations, but they've done a very good job saying, well, if you're a patriot, you're a Republican. You know, where the Democrat, they're saying, well, if you want to be kind and you want to help all these other people, but it's very easy to be
labeled.
You know, you want to think about yourself. Everybody says, I want what's best for my family. I mean, who doesn't say that? Well, I'm willing to take what's good enough for my family so I don't have to put down my neighbors. So it's been propaganda, and it's because of career politicians. We need people. The job of a representative should be to get in, to represent an issue, and either move into like a state level, move into Senate, move up, or go back to being a regular everyday person. Go back to someone that goes to a job 5 days a week, right, that has bills to pay. Because once you're there for, you know, 40 years, like my opponent has been, you're no longer in touch with what's actually going on. You know, Bill Posey doesn't know what it's like to actually live down here anymore.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Why is it so many politicians, once elected, it's all about the re-election? It's all about keeping the base happy so that you get reelected again? I mean, do they have town hall meetings? Is there a way to meet the representatives and talk to them? Would you be more accessible than what we have right now?
Oh, without a doubt. We already have a plan to hold, if elected, to hold office hours. So now that everybody in America has Zoom or one of the other ones, we'll set something up. And so, you know, twice a week we'll be having these office hours. And at least twice a month we'll be, because we'd be back here in the district, or we're hoping for at least twice a month, to have actual town halls. My opponent hasn't had a town hall in 10 years. You know, he has this call, he calls it, but nobody gets to debate anything. You just listen to him talk. Might as well be recorded because he's just reading off of notes.
So remind our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends again, Mr. Jim Kennedy, who you're running against and where exactly are the boundaries for your district?
Well, as I said, my name is Jim Kennedy. I'm running for Congressional District 8. So that's all of Brevard County, that's all of Indian River County, and it's the eastern part of Orange County. So basically, Bithlow, Christmas, Wedgefield, east of the Econ River. My opponent is Bill Posey. He's been in politics since 1976.
Since 76?
76 is when he was first elected.
I remember Elvis Presley in 1976. Oh, God.
He's been in this position. My opponent actually ran on term limits. That's how one of the ways he got elected. And now he's exceeded what he said the term limits for a congressional representative should be. He's now going for his seventh term. Politicians want to stay up there for the power, the prestige, and the money. Not really interested in those. I'd rather see things happen and then get back to living the nice, quiet coastal life I like here in Brevard. I mean, I love Meridian. I love living here. I love being here with my family. I'd rather see something get done, get the work done, and move on, and then let somebody else with new ideas move forward, whether they're Republican or Democrat. If you're watching out for the people, if you're truly representing the residents of District 8, then, you know, you should... You know, do it. Pardon me.
Then you should do it.
Yeah, you should do it.
Yeah.
You know, put your hat in the ring, run, but don't look at it as a career. Don't try to be in that one position forever.
Are they afraid to fill out job applications, these politicians? Ellen, what do you think? I mean, I have never heard of a politician in Brevard that actually had to fill out a job application and get background check and fingerprinted and all that stuff. What is it about them that they keep running around from one particular office to the next? Once they're getting there, like the Roach Motel, they never come out. It's like they got stuck. So this again. So Bill Posey ran on term limits, but he's been there 40 years? How's that possible?
He's going for his seventh term as this seat, but he started in 1976.
So how is our government in such that a person could run for office, seven times for the same seat?
Correct.
I think it's because we did not have strong opponents running against him. But you are pretty strong, Jim. You are blessed. You're an engineer, you're a veteran, you're a family man, you have wife and children, and you know the issues. Why aren't we seeing more of you in Brevard? People need to know who you are. What can we do on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to help you so that people have a decision to make? They can vote for what they have, or they could vote somebody else new with fresh new ideas.
Well, I mean, obviously getting the word out is the biggest thing. We have been, my biggest goal would be to sit down with Bill Posey, and I've met Bill Posey a few times, sit down and have a debate with him. He has turned down every request. He has turned down the League of Women Voters. He's turned down the Orlando Sentinel. He's turned down WSEH, Channel 2. We're trying to reach out. He doesn't want to because...
But why is he turning it down?
Because he doesn't have it anymore. I've talked to Bill Posey. Once he gets past his soundbite, there isn't much there anymore.
That's
trying
sad.
To be nice. I'm trying to be nice.
That's
sorry.
That's pretty sad because, you know, when you have two people in a race, you want to hear from both of them. And I feel like our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we are doing a service to our community by having Jim Kennedy on. Hold on a minute, Paul. I just want to ask him one question before he goes. So one of the questions we got from our listeners was, what is your stance on women's health and women's rights?
Women's health, the simplest way is, you know, a woman's health is, it's her choice. So a woman has body autonomy. So for her health decisions, it's fully her choice. So when it comes to things like, obviously a lot of people are asking about what is my stance on abortion? And my stance is I'm pro-choice, which my opponent is also. It's just we have different understandings on who gets to make that choice. So a woman's health
It's her body, her mind,
her body, her mind. It should be between her, her doctor, and if relevant, a religious figure or a spouse. But only if it's up to them. You know, only if that's part of their equation. It is just such an... Nobody would want... I would not want anybody telling me what to do with my body. You know, I mean, if... Especially with, you know, reproductive issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and we've always said, you know, if people want to see a termination of pregnancies, the best way to do that is to promote comprehensive sex education
mm-hmm.
at appropriate ages, as well as academic and trade. And yeah, get into the military too. But it goes, your reproductive system is there for a reason. And if you can't think about the child you're going to have, and the loving parents that are going to nurture it and guide it, and the foundation for everything is family and elders, community, then something is wrong if you can't think about that.
Mm-hmm. But to your point, all of that education and so forth, which is not available anymore in schools like it used to be, is now, it's that prevention.
Parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Elders, sisters,
absolutely.
Brothers, yep. aunts, cousins.
Healthcare.
You know?
Access to healthcare.
Yeah.
Yep. Lead
by example, all of us.
Exactly.
Well, hey, listen, let's take a break real quick so we can kind of collect our thoughts. We'll get back to the issues with Jim Kennedy. And please come back. We're going to just take a quick station break. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Families will love the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra's Music at the Watering Hole, a free online family concert. The program will feature a stimulating original story by national best-selling author Michelle Wallace Campanelli that will come to life on screen with a film presentation created and directed by award-winning Mendex Studios. King of Africa, Kojo the Lion, was surprised when a box fell off a tourist bus and dropped a symphony of musical instruments near his watering hole. With a great love for music, Kojo decides to bring all of the wild animals of the savannah together. Could these natural enemies learn to get along to become an orchestra? And just what would they play? The concert will feature music from Madagascar, Lion King, Zootopia, Jungle Book, Jurassic Park, The Croods, and more. So once again, that's Music at the Watering Hole, Sunday, November the 8th at 3 p.m. This is a SpaceCoastSymphony.org online event. Music at the Watering Hole, Sunday, November the 8th, 3 o'clock, SpaceCoastSymphony.org. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are speaking with Jim Kennedy, who is a candidate for Florida 8th Congressional District here in Brevard, Orange County, and a little bit of Indian River counties. My co-host, Ellen O'Neill.
Thank you.
Ellen O'Neill and I are here. She dropped a little.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
And we're talking with Jim. We're having a pretty educational conversation. And very unscripted. It's kind of like a friend who dropped by, but Paul won't give us any coffee.
Right. No,
all
no
tea,
coffee.
All water, because he doesn't believe in having drinks in the studio.
But I would like to say that the show is paid for by the campaign to elect Jim Kennedy for Congress for the Congressional District 8.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. But Paul, thank you for getting involved in our show. Paul just asked some very important questions.
Yes.
About fertilizer and things like that. And
environmental.
Environmental question. And Jim had a really good answer for that.
So we were talking about, the question was about fertilizer and what was the stance on.
And we think it's more of a local issue.
It really is.
We're going to have to bring back the MRC on to answer all those questions.
Yeah, it definitely is a local issue. I mean, any issue, you know, when you're talking about any climate issue, it's global. I mean, we keep worrying about, you know, the Indian River, but if we don't do something about sea level rise, the Indian River Lagoon is just going to be a bay, you know.
So how will you help us here with the Indian River Lagoon? Because I just saw a picture of the Indian River Lagoon. The color is like brown again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's terrible. I thought it had a lot to do with the dredging, but I don't think that's
so. Tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, how can you help us with the Indian River Lagoon once you get elected?
For one, I'd be using the recognition, the notoriety of the seat for this area to bring awareness to it. Dr. Dwayne DeFries, there's FIT, there's the Brevard Zoo has the oyster program. There's all these issues. There's a lot of people that are ready to start working on this. So in the position as congressman and representative for this area, I would work with the EPA. I would work with the Florida Causeways Initiative, which is the local EPA for water. The Clean Water Act needs to be reinforced, re-strengthened. You know, give these policies that we have on the federal level, of course, because anything local obviously has to be dealt with at the local level anyway. Give these places the teeth to go after the polluter. We keep seeing people saying, oh, we need to work on the septic systems. We need people to stop fertilizing. That's business trying to put the onus of fixing it on the taxpayer and the homeowner, as opposed to where the real problems came from. We know it's silting up. We need to get that out there. Where is that runoff coming from? Industrial agriculture, right? We're seeing the pollutants coming in from there. You can blame the local ones all you want. And yes, they do affect it. All these little things do affect it. We've known this. We've known this for 20 years. And we're not going to be able to fix it overnight, but we have to start.
Right.
We have to start working on it. We have to start putting these projects where my opponent likes to just do another study until he retires.
Right.
Again and again and again.
Yeah, you get fed up all those studies. One of the other questions we had from our listeners by text is, Ellen touched a little bit about that on the Second Amendment. I mean, we all support the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
So take it from there. What is your stance on it?
Well, I'm a veteran. I'm, you know, I own guns. I'm a Second Amendment. I support the Second Amendment. It's a right that we all have. But we do have a responsibility. With rights come responsibilities. So, you know, to borrow from a friend, every gun owner knows that one friend that has guns that you really wish they didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Angry.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, this is, my friend Steve said this. You know, if he shows up at the gun range, you're like, oh, great, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Kevin's here. Let's run.
Right.
That's the guy I don't want to have a gun.
Right.
You know, guy or girl. So if you're responsible, you know, what's wrong with a background check? It just makes sure you're not a criminal. What are you worried
about? You're protecting the public.
Yeah. I've been fingerprinted. I have a, you know, a lot of people around here already have security clearances from working on the base. If you can get a security clearance, you're going to most likely pass a firearms inspection. Is it that hard? You know,
to carry an assault rifle, join the military.
If you, you know, and that's the thing, the assault weapons ban, it does work. The question is, where do we draw the line?
Right.
You know, everybody can agree that a bazooka is not for normal hunting. You know, where is that line drawn? And that's what people need to talk about. And that's what I wish the NRA was back doing that more. Instead of just being a lobbying arm, they used to be this great education arm for gun awareness and responsibility, rights and responsibilities. And it just seems to have gone by the wayside.
It became
it's been
too
politicized.
Political.
It's been, exactly.
Anytime something becomes political, that's what happens, right? But one side sees it a different way, the others, and then the people in the middle.
Well, it's all open for interpretation.
Right.
Yeah,
but the people in the middle, the reasonable voices get drowned out.
Whenever anything becomes politicized, it becomes yes or no. It becomes black and white. There's never any gray anymore. You're either with me or against me. And unfortunately, it's how
people
vote.
Some people vote Republican without reading about the candidates because they just pick one issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fair to good people like you who can give back to this country, Mr. Kennedy.
Thank you. So
your opponent, Bill Posey, claims he is and will continue to be a staunch supporter of President Trump. If you and Joe Biden win, where do you see your role with Mr. Posey, with Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden? I don't understand, you know, right now Mr. Posey is rubber stamping everything that President Trump does.
Mm-hmm.
And people are hoping that you get in, and they're saying you'll rubber stamp everything Joe Biden does. I don't think you would do that. I don't think you would be that kind of a person.
As I said in the last section before, this job is to represent. That's the title of this job, U.S. House of Representatives. I would be the representative for Florida District 8, which means what's best for this area is what my job is to bring to the federal level, to bring into Washington. You know, my opponent, Bill Posey, is always saying, I support Trump, and he had a primary opponent and, you know, just trashed him, you know, straight up lies, blah, 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 blah. But just a few days ago, Mr. Posey was down in Jupiter with the president when they put a halt on the offshore drilling. Well, last year, I might have the number wrong, but I think it was House Resolution 1865, Mr. Posey voted to allow mining and drilling off of our coast.
But last year he didn't say that.
No, last year he was saying, let them drill, right after he got a big donation. And then this year he's saying, look, we put a moratorium on it.
So he goes with the wind is what you're saying?
He goes with the wind. The job of the representative is not to back the president. If I get in there and Joe Biden also gets in and is elected as president, if he does something illegal, that's Congress's job to call them out.
To hold them responsible.
That is what they are there for.
But here's the other side of that, though. What if you win? We want you to win. But President Trump gets elected. How would you handle that?
I'd handle it the same way I handle if Joe Biden gets in. If the president is looking out for the best interests of the American people and doing things legally, there's no problem. Are we going to have disagreements on how to get there? Of course. That's what the legislative sessions are for. But I'm not there to make his life stop, to make government stop. I'm there to make sure the best happens for the people of my district and that everything that the American people get is what's best for them. And it's helping them. If something's done illegal, it's illegal. It doesn't matter who does it.
Right. You would listen.
Of course.
Yeah. You'd listen to the people and you'd listen to debates as well. So once you get to Washington, D.C., what do you think would make you different from all the other politicians who want to go up there?
Maybe because I'm not someone in love with power and money. I want to get up there and make a difference. I actually do. You know, there are genuine people up there, and unfortunately they do get run over, and this is both parties. I don't think one party holds the holds all the gold medals when it comes to caring about people. How we get there and how we interact once we're there is what's truly made, is truly where we see the difference. So I'd want to get up there. I'd like to see real change happen. I'd love to see term limits. I'd love to see healthcare. Just these simple things, you know, the kitchen table issues that everybody talks about that most Americans are in favor of. I mean, the term limits. Over 80% of Americans, even more Republicans, more than Democrats, want term limits.
Yeah, we had Nick on our show, Nick Tombolidis.
Yes, and I've signed a pledge with him.
Yeah, Nick talked about that. And, you know, he educated our audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about term limits. And we actually agreed with him.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't agree with it on the Democratic side, I understand. But, hey, it makes sense.
Actually, 74% of Democrats agree with term limits.
Okay, and?
And it's like 86% of Democrats and about 80% of MPAs. So it's right around 80% of people want it. This was the last numbers I saw.
Yeah.
But the other thing is getting money out. Citizens United,
right.
It's got to go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He that you can have
it.
A whole separate career of having your vote bought. You know, and it's the rules are crazy. You can argue all day long, but corporations are not people. They are not American citizens.
So
they
what
don't
are,
vote.
So what are your top three or four issues that you would focus on once you get to Washington, D.C.?
As I was saying before, so economic recovery, we need that. That's going to help everybody. And it needs to start with Main Street, not Wall Street. It needs to start with the individual homeowners. It needs to start small and then work its way up. Let's try the trickle-up economy for a little bit. After that, my next goal would be working on healthcare for all. Getting some kind of system in there to where all Americans have access to healthcare. Not just emergency care, but access to health care. After that, obviously, there's so many things I want to do. I personally, as a disabled vet, I'd like to help veterans more. I'd like to see more get in that way. The environment, we all need to chip in. There's so much technology out there, amazingly, that we don't use. The technology to, as we were talking about fertilizers, you can have good fertilizers for your lawn. They're just not the cheap, easy ones you get from Scott. Sorry, Scott.
Yeah.
Whatever company.
Right. Intercompany name.
Yeah, intercompany name here. I've talked with this one company, Bradham Energies. They're just down in Fort Lauderdale. They're carbon negative. So they can take biosolids. They can take everything that you throw in trash, with the exception of glass and metal, and turn it into natural gas, turn it into
energy,
diesel, turn it into energy. But they could set up a pipeline shipping out and pumping into the natural gas lines to people's houses. And that's the more plastic that's in there, the heat rate goes up, and it's actually more efficient. So this technology is there. We know here on the Space Coast, we have the best solar panels, photovoltaics, in the world, right? Not in the residence, but on the Space Center, because, you know, they're very expensive. But the technology is there. That technology can get out. And as that gets better, it gets passed down and it gets cheaper. We can do these things. The technology is there. It's just people need to have you need to get business the oomph to go for it,
right?
Because it's not the cheapest way.
Encourage them. Yeah, and you also need to educate them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk endorsements. You just got a huge endorsement from the Orlando Sentinel. They actually endorsed you, and it's all over social media. How does that feel?
It feels pretty good. It was really, you know, I had the interview with them. My opponent turned it down. He's turned down all of them. So far that we've talked about lately since he's actually become my opponent. When he was up against Scott Kane, he was still not qualified for the November election. But it's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, for me, I'm an engineer. I'm a scientist. I like to work. That these more public things are happening are still a little stunning to me. Like, I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago, the Library of Congress reached out. And
yeah, I saw that. I'm like, your name is up there now.
Yeah, they put, you know.
Because you're a veteran.
they're like cataloging in the digital archives of the Library of Congress our website. You know, I mean, that's my family. My pictures of my family. The Library of Congress. Are you kidding me? That's blowing my mind.
I'd love to see you up there to represent Brevard. It would be awesome for the people of Brevard to have someone with your tenacity, and you're so hopeful, and you have all these wonderful ideas, that all you need is somebody to open that door and say, come here.
Well, thank
and
you.
Do it for us, you know.
That's so what I'm trying to do.
So here's the other thing. When you get to Washington, D.C., I mean, we've talked about this on a few shows. We all saw that Mitch McConnell had swore he would not work with President Obama. Mm-hmm. And you are saying the exact opposite. You're saying if you get in, but President Trump is there, you'd work with him. And if Joe Biden gets in, you'd work with him. How does it feel as an American to know that a judge like Merrick Garland couldn't be appointed to the Supreme Court because Congress decided that they were not going to take up that case? I mean, to me, that's just wrong.
No, it was directly against the Constitution, in my opinion. I mean, there is supposed to be laws, or not supposed to be. There are laws, and it says when this happens, this happens. And that one person, Mitch McConnell, can just say, nah, I don't feel like it.
And they make their own rules.
Yeah, that's not what you're there for. Obviously, he wins in Kentucky continuously.
Yeah, you know, same thing, career politician.
Career politician. He's good at it. And so he has a lot, he's has more power than anybody else in Washington with his appointments and stuff like that. And it's scary that that much power sits in one person, unlimited, for however long they want.
So if you were there right now when they were discussing the bill for the second round of stimulus and for people to have some money in their pay, in their bank accounts because so many people lost jobs, how would you have voted for that? And would you have compromised? Because, you know, a lot of people say Nancy Pelosi should compromise. I believe she should compromise too. I think, you know, people were getting $600 a week. And if the Republicans want to compromise with that, compromise is not a dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
People should know once they go into politics, they should. So how would you have compromised on that? Or how would you if you get in?
For something like that, you have to actually look at it. The $600 was chosen because it's $15 an hour over 40 hours. So that's what, you know, that's why they were going for that. Now, that's in addition to any other unemployment benefits that you're getting from your state.
Yeah, so people were getting
$875, which...
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, not if you're living in Orlando, not if you're living in Miami. Try and live in downtown Miami on $875 a week. That's not going to cover your rent. So all these things, I guess there's some neighborhoods that could, but there's all these things that go into it. What I didn't like seeing in the CARES Act and some of the things in the HEROES Act is things that have absolutely nothing to do with the virus, have absolutely nothing to do with the pandemic or response to it.
Yeah, they add on all these things.
It's all this pork barrel spending.
Right.
They need to, that needs to, that, the politician that can stop that, someone like Mitch McConnell who's in the position to, that would be the greatest thing I could imagine anyone could do up there to say stop. Why don't we address these issues as they come up?
Yeah, like we do in our own houses.
Yes.
If you're talking with your husband about the plumbing, you talk about plumbing. If you're talking about children's college, you talk about college. It's a one issue at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where I think people should have compromised. There are nursing assistants right here in Brevard County, Florida, who make $13 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That does not add up to $875 a week.
No, it does not.
You know, so how do you justify some people who are getting $875 a week at home and some people who are actually working on the front lines in the pandemic, not even bringing home $500 a week? So I think compromise is something that you have to consider.
Politics is about compromise. It's, you know, there's some issues you can't compromise on. You can't compromise on people's lives. You can't compromise on people's welfare. You can't compromise on education for children. These things cannot be monetized.
Right.
Now, when it comes to trying to help people out in the pandemic, if everybody had health care and everybody was okay, what, you know?
Half of the worry is done.
Half of the worry is done.
Right. And here's the other thing, too. I know somebody just texted me about events. Do you have, what kind of events are you doing? Are you doing all your events on Zoom or are you going to be, I mean, I don't know, what do we do in a pandemic with people who are running for office? It's rough. It's challenging.
It is very challenging because you want to be safe. My son has immunocompromised, so he has lung issues. So I'm very, very nervous and proactive about the coronavirus. I really don't want to bring it to my family. So I wear a mask whenever I'm out and, you know, make sure I socially distance around people and do my best. All the playbooks for any party are you have to get out and talk to people, you have to meet people, you have to have these events. And it's so hard because you're not supposed to now. Or if you are, you're taking such a great risk. And it's taken us a while. So we do most of our events virtually right now. People are welcome to come to our office. We provide masks if they don't have one. We always wear masks. And we'll meet people more one-on-one, but not in crowds. You know, we try and keep it limited and keep people moving. So we don't want, I don't want to be the cause of one, you know, a super spreader event. That would be the worst thing I could do, especially for what I believe in and what I want to do with this job. So We have gone to a lot of Zoom, Facebook Live, and a couple other platforms.
Shows. What about, of course, now we're watching, so many people are running for office in Brevard. And time is limited, resources are limited, volunteers are limited.
Mm-hmm.
Give our listeners your website so they can go on your website and see what are you in need of.
Okay. Yeah, so our website is, you know, www.kennedyforflorida.com. Spell out all one word. All words, no numbers. And that's our website. We're on Jim Kennedy for Congress is our Facebook page. We got JK for Florida is our Twitter and Instagram. So, you know, we're always trying to get content out. We're always trying to help out people. We just had a listener from Felsmere. A follower from Felsmere. Yeah. She reached out on Facebook, and I'm talking to her in emails this morning about them losing broadband internet down there. With that, in this day and age, where everything is going online, what's going to happen if you don't have a good way to communicate anymore?
And your kids are learning online.
And your kids are learning online.
I just had a quick question. Somebody wanted to know your stance. 30 seconds. Paul, how much time do we have?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. You quickly for a minute. Immigration. Somebody wanted to know your stance on immigration and on criminal justice reform.
Oh, only 1 minute for that. 2 minutes. Okay. So for immigration, I'll start with that one you brought up first. I'm for visa reform. I mean, there should be a pathway for citizenship to people that are here. Let's find a good system for it that we can agree to. So for the Dreamers, these are children, they are Americans. They've grown up here their whole entire lives.
Right.
There definitely needs to be some pathway to citizenship that's very clear. For everybody else that, you know, from around the world that wants to come in, we need to have a better visa program that's less biased for who it chooses and who it allows in. We can't have people starting to buy their visas as we unfortunately start seeing nowadays. So definitely a rework of that to where we're managing what we need, you know, the jobs we need. I have a whole program set up. I don't think we have time to get into it, but it matches people and regions up with jobs and immigration visas. The other part was criminal justice reform. There's a lot. Personally, I think the idea of people saying defund the police, that's a bad idea. That's not
reallocate the funds.
I've sat down with Wayne Ivey, and he's like, we need more funds to train people. We need funds to have experts in these areas, and that's what they should have. They should have, you know, you're asking a police officer to be a drug addiction counselor, a homeless counselor, a domestic
a social worker,
mental health worker, and they're not trained for that. Have lieutenants, sergeants, whatever you want to call them, that are experts that respond to those so that most officers can do their job, which is fighting crime, right, which is representing the people in that way.
So be proactive.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. So the website one more time before we go off air. What a great conversation.
Thank you. KennedyForFlorida.com.
Yes, Alan, we have all of that posted.
We should bring him back on our show just you know, because, I mean, we've had so many politicians in here, but I just feel like if he goes to Washington, D.C., we, the people of Brevard County, Florida, Indian River, and part of Orlando,
yes,
we are going to be the beneficiaries of a great guy, yes, who's fighting for us.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, all of our friends and family who are tuning in each week with Viewpoint Mesita and Friends. And thank you, Jim Kennedy, for not only coming today and sharing all of your viewpoints and certainly sharing your issues, but for supporting your campaign and making sure that you're paying and supporting Viewpoint Mesita and Friends. Thank you all so much, and tune in next week at 1 p.m. on Monday.